ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो Today we're reading from for the offer of my obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Vanshakalpataruvyasya kripa sindhubhaye vacha paritanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So there's a lot of verses to recite without Sanskrit. So I'm going to recite them myself, and then we're going to do the verse that's on the board, probably verse 24. Yeah. So we go back to 17. Vanaprastasya vyakshami niyamam munisamatam yan astaya munir gachet rishilokam ahanjasa. O King, I shall now describe the qualification for a vanaprastha, one who has retired from family life. By rigidly following the rules and regulations of the vanaprastha, one can easily be elevated to the upper planetary system known as Maharloka. Buddy, can I hear properly?
Yeah.
It sounds okay? Text 18. Na kirista pachyam ashniyad akiristam chapi akalata agni paksvam ata mamva arka pakvam utaharet. A person in vanaprastha life should not eat grains grown by tilling of the fields. He should also not eat grains that have grown without tilling of the field but are not fully ripe. Nor should a vanaprastha eat grains cooked in fire. Indeed, he should eat only fruit ripened by the sunshine. Vanaischaru purodashan nirvapet kalachoditam labde navi nadye puranam cha parichajat. A vanaprastha should prepare cakes to be offered in sacrifice from fruits and grains grown naturally in the forest. When he obtains some new grains, he should give up his old stock of grains. Agni artam eva sharanam utajam vadrikandaram shrayita imavayagni varshakatapasat svayam. A vanaprastha should prepare a thatched cottage or take shelter of a cave in the mountain only to keep the sacred fire. But he should personally practice enduring snowfall, wind, fire, rain, and the shining of the sun. Kesha Roma Nakashmaru Malani Jatilo Dadat Kamandaravajine Danda Vakalagni Paricharam. The vanaprastha should wear matted locks of hair on his head and let his body hair, nails, and mustache grow. He should not cleanse his body of dirt. He should keep a water pot, deer skin, and rod, wear the bark of a tree as a covering, and use garments colored like fire. Charedvani dvada shabdam astova chaturu mune dva ekam vayata budir navipadita kritshrata. Being very thoughtful, a vanaprastha should remain in the forest for 12 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, or at least 1 year. He should behave in such a way that he will not be disturbed or troubled by too much austerity. Yada kalpas vakriyayam yadibir jarayatava andvikshyam va vidyayam kuryat anashanadikam. When because of disease or old age one is unable to perform his prescribed duties for advancement in spiritual consciousness or study of the Vedas, he should practice fasting, not taking any food. Now we're up to the verse of today. Atmani,
Atmani.
Agnim,
Agni.
Samaropya.
Samaropya.
Atmani Agnim Samaropya. Sanyasyaham Mamatmatam. Sanyasyaham Mamatmatam. Karaneshu Niyaset Samyak. Karaneshu Niyaset Samyak. Sangatam Tu Yatarata. Sangatam tu yatarata. Atmani agnim samoropya. Sanyasyaham mahatmatam. Karaneshu nyaset samyak. Sangatam tu yatarhata. Atmani agnim samoropya. Sanyasyaham mamatmatam. Karaneshu nyaset samyak. Sangatam tu yatarhata. Atmani agnim samaropya. Sanyasyaham mamatmatam. Karaneshu nyaset samyak. Sangatam tu yatarhata. Amatmani agnim samaropya. Sanyasyaham amatmatam. Nishu yaset samyak. Sangatam tu yatarhata.
Atmani angasamropya.
Atmani agnim samaropya. Sanyasyaham amatmatam. Karaneshu nyaset samyak. Samgatam tu yatarhata. Atmani agnim samaropya. Sanyasyaham mamatmatam. Karaneshu nyaset samyak. Samgatam tu yatarhata. Ladies, Atmani agnim samaropya. Sanyasyaham amatmatam. Karaneshu nyaset samyak. Sangatam tu yatarhata. Atmani in oneself. Agnim, the fire elements within the body. Samaropya, properly placing. Sanyasya, giving up. Aham, false identity. Mama, false conception. Atmatam, of the body's being one's self or one's own. Karaneshu, in the five elements that cause the material body. Nyaset, one should merge. Samyak, completely. Sangatam, combination. Two, but yatarhata, as it befits. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. He should properly place the fire element in his own self and in this way give up bodily affinity by which one thinks the body to be oneself or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Please repeat after me. He should properly place the fire elements in his own self. And in this way give up bodily affinity. By which one thinks the body to be oneself or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. The body is an effect of a cause, namely the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. In other words, one should know perfectly well that the material body is nothing but a combination of the five elements. This knowledge constitutes merging of the material body and the five material elements. Merging into Brahman in perfect knowledge means understanding perfectly that one is not the body but a spirit soul. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Sarakaya Chakshuran Meritam Gena Tajmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master has opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer him my respectful obeisances. I thank everybody for having come to the Bhagavatam class. Hearing and chanting about Krishna is our duty as eternal servant of Krishna. So I'm very pleased and honored that I have an opportunity to serve you today by presenting a few points about Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll talk about two different things. The first part will be about the process of self-realization long time ago, like 5,000 years ago, like we're hearing today. Mystic yoga process, Vanashram, different items in that direction. And in the second part of my class, I will be talking about the modern process of yoga. Not exactly modern, but the one process that Lord Chaitanya gave us, and compare the two. Our one is so much more difficult than the one we have to execute in this Kali Yuga, and elaborate a little more on the details of taking up the chanting of Hare Krishna as explained in one of the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So like this particular section of the Bhagavatam, if you read to the end of the chapter, it appears that this particular Vanapras person attains self-realization. If you read the last verses of this chapter, you'll see that it's very little technical, difficult to understand what's really going on. But a person's gonna merges the elements of his body into the elements of nature, and then he's gonna ascend higher and higher, and eventually give up the envelope of his body, gross and subtle. So when a non-devotee leaves his body, same thing happens. The elements of his body, like earth, water, fire, air, they also go merge into the material elements. But he's not free from these material elements because the subtle mind that he has is not clean, it's not clear. So he has material desires, and the subtle body will guide him to the next birth. And then the same element that disperse in nature, they're going to regroup around him in the womb of a mother. They're going to again regroup and cover him up. And then he'll take a birth again, and again he'll be subjected to the laws of nature. Whereas a self-realized person, completely clear of all material contamination, when he gives up his material body, then the material elements of his body will merge in material nature, but because his subtle body is also dissolved with no material desire left, then he can cross over the subtle covering of this universe and either attain Brahman or enter Vaikuntha planets or go back to Krishna Loka depending on his qualification. So when I was reading these verses, I was thinking, how could this person attain self-realization, because there's no really mention of any yoga that he performed. because we cannot attain self-realization unless we perform some kind of yoga. So this person, he practiced some austerity, like we read, and this discussion about fire, a fire that he had in his cave, and we didn't really know what kind of ritual he was performing or what kind of process he was performing, but it has to do with a fire in his cave. Probably he was offering oblation into the fire, because it's explained that he would make cakes out of natural grain in the forest and fruits and offer it into the fire. So he was definitely offering something into the fire. So whatever way he attained self-realization, that's okay. But there's other part in the Bhagavatam that is more detailed how by yoga a person can attain emancipation from the material laws of nature. So we can talk about this a little bit, that in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, is the discussion of Dhyana Yoga. Krishna explained this, Dhyana Yoga, or Eightfold Path of Mystic Perfection to Arjuna. So basically, a yogi, he performed the 8 path, Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, and then there's Hatyar and other until up to Samadhi. So the idea is that he raises his soul, he dislodges his soul from the position in the heart and raise with the control of the subtle hair in the body through the breathing process and the knowledge he has received from his guru. He's able to dislodge the soul from the heart, and then he brings his soul to the top of the head and the Brahma Rundra, which is a hole in the skull. And then when we're a baby, there's a hole, there's a soft spot on top of the head. This is the Brahma Rundra. If you push your finger in there, you might kill the baby if you push too hard. But there's a hole in there. And this hole close up when we grow up, but the bones, they come together and they close the hole. But the yogi, when he's ready, he bursts through that hole. Now, two things might happen. If the yogi is not clear in his mind, then he has to go in some planet in the universe. We don't know which one, because he has desires and he's powerful because he's a yogi, so he can transport himself in any of the planet in the material universe, but again he will be conditioned. If the yogi is clear of all material contamination, when he leaves his body through the skull, he, according to the second chapter of the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I studied a little bit in preparation for this class, the chapter of the Lord and the Heart, the process is given there. What happens to the yogi when he leaves the skull? So what happened? He enters into the Milky Way, because the Milky Way is a causeway or a highway. It goes from the lowest planet to the highest planet in the universe. The Ganges water flows. It's like a highway. So it starts from Satyaloka, because Lord Vamanadevi broke the covering of the universe and the causal ocean fell down. And the Ganges goes all the way down to the lower planets. And the yogis, they use the river of the Ganges to travel throughout the universe. The Kumaras, Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Ladita Vishaka Radha Shama Sundar. So the four Kumaras, although they reside in the Satyaloka because they're sons of Brahma, they sometimes come down to the river of the Ganges. And at one point, they went all the way down to the lower planets and they received knowledge from Sankarshan, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he came back up to the middle planetary system, and they gave that knowledge to different sages, and one of these sages gave it to Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni gave that knowledge Imparampara to Vidura. And this section of the Bhagavatam, third canto, Majjhima Muni speak with Vidura, is actually coming from the Kumar Sampradaya, the knowledge they receive from Lord Shankarsha. So they can travel, look, yogis can travel. And yogis can travel many other ways. They can travel to the rays of the sun. They can travel to the rivers. They can travel with their mind. They can travel with the waters of the Ganges. Anyway, I forgot what I had to say. Let's take a second here. So it's a rigid process, it's a difficult process, and the yogis goes to different planets when he goes up in some kind of subtle body. He goes to, according to the Bhagavatam, he goes to the planet of fire, whatever the planet is, and he become purified of all sinful reaction. Then he goes higher, like just explained here, they mentioned Maharaloka. In one of the translation, he goes to Maharaloka, and he goes to the Shishumara planetary system, which is like a planetary system where the pole star is, and all the planets and the stars, they revolve around the pole star, and the yogi go there, and he has a vision of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu that resides there. And this Shishumara planetary system will be on display in the TOVP. They will show in the dome of the TOVP, Table of Vedic Planetary System. It will show how all the planets are turning around the pole star. You know, the Shishumara is actually a Sanskrit name for dolphin. And the dolphin is upside down, and everything is turning around. So then after that, the yogi will go to Satya Loka, and from there, he will take another body made of more subtle elements, and then he'll go to the different layers of the universe. Earth, water, the coverings of the universe. And you give up the different conception of earth, water, fire. Then he will come out of the envelope, and according to what kind of yogi he was, if he either merge in Brahman, or again he will go to Vaikuntha, or go to Krishna Loka, if he was a bhakti yogi. Because also bhakti yogi practiced the system a long time ago. They meditate in Krishna within the heart. So, as we see, it's not so easy and not so pretty difficult. So, but Lord Chaitanya has given us an easier program, fortunately for us. Okay, just a second here. So after there's a description of all these subject matter. Sorry. Take you a little delay here, technical difficulties. Well, basically, there's a verse in the second canto. Describing that this yoga is too difficult for Kali Yuga, it's not possible. So Lord Chaitanya, he gave a different process, which is the hearing process. Lord Chaitanya explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one should simply give up all mental speculation and sit down in the association of devotees and hear about Krishna. And this process will help one gradually achieve love of God. So this is our process. Like all of us, we heard from a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. I know myself, as a youth, I was pretty confused. As a teenager, I was totally confused about everything. But one day I met some devotees on the street, and I got a Krishna book from there, Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead trilogy. And by reading the Krishna book, I realized, oh, there's a God after all. His name is Krishna, and he's God because he's Bhagavan. He has six opulence in full. He got full beauty, full knowledge, full strength, full power, full renunciation, full knowledge, full fame. And I could realize, simply by reading the Krishna book, that there is a God, and I must surrender to him. So this is what Prabhupada gave us. Like we see in other parts of the Bhagavatam, that sometimes this confusion, people don't know who God is, even great sages. There was this assembly of Bhrigu Muni was dispatched to find out who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they didn't know great sages. So, but we know, because Prabhupada gave us the full understanding in a way that we can understand it. This self-realization and knowing what the goal of life is and knowing who God is very, it's not always available in human society. Sometimes people are in ignorance that they don't know. But samadhi was made available to us, and we can take advantage of it very easily. By reading Prabhupada's book, we get the full understanding. So, Lord Chaitanya explains that one, by the hearing process, the Bhakti Lata Bij is planted, the seed of devotion is planted, and we water the seeds, we water the root of the tree. So, while the watering process is going on, there's different problems arising. Like weeds may grow along with the watering, and then there's material attachment we have to deal with. Then there's offenses at the devotees, there's offenses at the deities, offenses at the chanting of the holy name. There's also a desire for fame, profit, adoration, distinction. There are so many different problems that may be there, but the process itself can tackle this problem. Sometimes a devotee may think that there's a crisis of self-confidence in devotional service, because one may think, oh, I'm not qualified to do this. I have so many anarthas, so many problems. And the process of devotional service is so exalted, so advanced, and the knowledge we read in the Bhagavatam may be above our head quite most of the time. We read things that are not really at our level. It's really high philosophy. And then we think, well, you know, who am I to follow this process? And then we may become discouraged or despondent. So this is actually Maya, another form of Maya, to think that we cannot execute the process of Krishna consciousness. Process of Krishna consciousness can be executed if we take shelter of not emotional, sentimental aspect of our personality, but if we analyze soberly and logically and intelligently, we study Prabhupada's books, we will see that we have a position in devotional service. Whatever, it doesn't matter if it's a very low position. We can, from that position, we can go up. If we apply ourselves to the hearing process sincerely enough and sufficiently enough, all the doubts of about Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explained, can be cleared by the hearing process. So we must take this very seriously. The hearing process is foremost in our philosophy. And if we see that we lose enthusiasm or we see that things are not going so well, we should not be frightened or lose our self-confidence, but we should understand that we need to hear better and we need to approach devotees and reveal our mind so they can give to us the proper, the elements we want to hear from. So hearing is very important. Now, what are we going to hear is that our spiritual advancement is dependent on the pleasure of our spiritual master. That any advancement we can make is not really our own strength, but it's coming from the pleasure of the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. Vayam suvam sasya yasastri sandhyam mandi guru shri charanaravindam. That if the spiritual master is pleased, then we can make spiritual advancement. So we're looking for the pleasure of our spiritual master. And the spiritual master also, being a person, a sensitive person, with emotion and feelings, he also wants us to be happy in devotional service. It's not just one way. We want to please Krishna, and Krishna wants to help us. He wants to please us. So even if a devotee has material condition or material desires or material attachment or a lacking in different areas, it doesn't mean that he's not qualified to engage in devotional service. And it doesn't mean that Krishna will be looking down on him, or the Guru will be looking down on him. Not actually, it's not like that. Krishna has affection for all of us who are taking the path of devotional service, going against all the odds of Kali Yuga. So, because Krishna wants our welfare, he takes into account our material conditioning. So there's the element of fulfilling the order of the Guru by engaging our mind, body, senses, energy in fulfilling that order, and to that dovetailing all our energy to fulfill the order of the Guru, there's purification of our senses and our mind. Our hearts become cleansed gradually. So what are the essential part of the mission of Prabhupada that will actually purify us? Because we're not all the same. People have different attachment, different condition, different state of mind. So what is going to work for us? For us particularly, ourselves. So we can give an example of how that can take place by evoking the idea of the pioneering spirit. The pioneering spirit, like pioneers. Like we get the idea of pioneers, we have in our mind people coming from Europe in 1500, 1400 and going to America and landing there. So when they land there, they have a lot of needs to be fulfilled. Maybe they have children and family, and there's nothing there except North American indigenous people residing there, but there's no gardens or food growing, there's no housing, there's no nothing. So in order to fulfill their need, they have to create the facility to fulfill their need. That's what a pioneering spirit is. There's nothing there, and you have things you have to produce. So the pioneers, they cut down the forest, and they use their logs and to build their house, and then with a clearing in the forest, they plant seeds, and then they grow their food, and then they can fulfill their needs. So in the pioneering stage of Krishna consciousness, it's similar. We have spiritual needs, but the facility may not be there to fulfill them in the beginning. I remember when I was a devotee in Montreal and United States and other places, there was this period of upheaval in our movement, a period of the falling down of the 11 the zonal system of 11 acharyas. So it was like a very turbulent era of our history. So I was finding out that wherever I was going, there would be this insecurity. in management, in insecurity, in so many different areas, and material facilities were not always there. I was a grihastha, I had children, and I had to take care of them. And I realized, well, this is not working for me. And I realized it the hard way. So anyway, when I was in Vancouver, they had the same problem there, that there was children and family, they needed education, devotees needed, economic development, they needed to make money, and they needed a place to reside, and nothing was there at the temple. All there was is deity worship, go on arena, book distribution, and there's nothing else. So temple in Vancouver had bought this farm, a 2,000-acre farm in the Rocky Mountains in Canada. But he couldn't pay. They put a down payment, but he couldn't pay for it anymore. So some devotees bought the farm from ISKCON, and they acquired it. And then they went making money. They sold paintings, and they gathered some funds, and then they pay for the rest of it, and then they moved there, and then they had to make more money to build their house. Then they had to create a school, a gurukul for their kids. Then they had to make a temple for worship. So there was nothing there for them, but they created by wanting to fulfill the order of Srila Prabhupada. They put their energy into it. And it meant a lot of sacrifice, and then this endeavor for this particular devotee may not be like that for everyone. Not everybody needs that type of setting, but for them, this pioneering spirit and surrendering to the responsibility and obligation of the Grihastha ashram, people get purified because they have to be fixed. That it requires mental focus, it requires conviction, requires determination, and a sense of responsibility towards one's dependent, both material and spiritual. So by this very process of creating the facility to fulfill our needs, whatever your needs are, but this process is pleasing to the spiritual master, and it purifies the heart. It becomes purified. And purified of anarthas also. Purified of whatever difficulty we have. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yagam tam yenamam upayanti te. Tesham ivanukam partam tamaham agyani janasbhata nashami bhatma vavashtu gyanadipena bhashvataha. To those who are constantly surrendering me with love, serving me with love, I give the understanding, the intelligence by which they can come back to me. And for those who are constantly worship me with love, I destroy from within the heart with a shining lamp of knowledge the ignorance born of illusion. So Krishna promised that if we surrender to him, he will clean our heart, clean our heart. So those are different realizations I had about my personal involvement in spiritual life. So now I can leave some time if you have comments and questions. We have 10 minutes left. Thank you. Well, it's identification with the body. We're not this body, we hear it, but because we've been associating with this body since birth, and we're using this body for our pleasure, we attach to it, just like probably give the example, somebody has a car, a brand new car, and paid a lot of money for it, is very proud of his car. When he hears a big bang in front of his street, he thinks his car is damaged. He suffers. Oh my God, you know, my car. But he has nothing to do with the car. But because he's attached to the car, he identifies with him, he feels pain. Although the car is a piece of metal on the street, so similarly, we also attach to this body, both grossly and subtly. So by the yoga process, we can cleanse of these things, gradually cleanse. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, you told in previous days, according to his qualification, the yogi can go either to Brahman or Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka. But can somebody go to Krishna Loka without teachings of Mahaprabhu, without serving under the guidance of
okay, so let's take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then. Lord Chaitanya is opening up the doors to Krishna Loka. But yogi can go to Vaikuntha. We're not talking about ordinary yogi, talking about the bhakti yogis. Dhruva Maharaj was performing Astanga Yoga. He saw Vishnu in his heart, and then Vishnu became revealed in front of him. So in Vaikuntha planets, there is the lokas of the different incarnation of Krishna, like Vraha and Korma, Nishingha, like that. But it's true what you're saying, that these avatars cannot really bring you to Krishna Loka. You have to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very good observation. Lord Chaitanya is very special and unique. He's the Momahabhananaya avatar. Nobody else ever gave before. Pure love of God, freely, Krishna Prema. And also the higher rasas of Vatsalya and Madhurya and all these come only from a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, who can, if we are qualified, he can bestow upon us these higher rasas. So you're very correct, Prabhu.
If I heard correctly, you were talking about basically taking care of our basic needs, we can transform that into a really deep Krishna consciousness.
If we take into consideration our material conditioning, and we use the formula that Prabhupada gave us to dovetail everything in devotional service, then we become purified. We don't become purified simply by taking care of our bodily needs. Material?
Goodness, the more material goodness. Because, like when you're protecting, when one is protecting the cows, it's very peaceful, happy life. How do we not become attached to that?
By offering the milk of the cows to Krishna. Everything has to be guided by the spiritual master. We're talking about Daivi Vanashram. And Vanashram is a support for people who are not pure devotees yet, who are not paramahamsas. It's a support like a net where he will be assisted in his devotional life. Like, for example, he can chant japa at Lloyd Bazaar amongst the traffic, right? Or you can chant japa peacefully in your room. She's chanting japa, but one place is a little bit better because it's more comfortable. So devotional life is always transcendental, but for us, which are not always able to transcend everything. We need a little bit more support to make our mind a little more peaceful, and then we can chant more attentively.
Thank you very much.
Haribo.
So, you mentioned that practicing Santa Bhakti, you're facing a lot of obstacles, and the process itself can remove the obstacles. So, can you say if we have to endeavor separately for this, do we have to try to remove these obstacles, or is it something automatic?
No, you have to make choices. At different time in your life, you'll see you're going to have to make choices. And you have to make the choice that will bring you closer to Krishna. People make the wrong choices sometimes, and they end up somewhere they don't want to be. So the free choice and the freedom of action is always there in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not something we have to do, it's something we want to do. Anytime, and it's all voluntary. Anybody who comes in the door voluntarily, involuntarily, you can also go out the door. It's all based on freedom of choice. Krishna wants freedom, that we are utilizing our freedom. So you'll see that at different times you'll need to it's not going to be automatic. It's going to be where you're going to have to reflect deeply, take association of devotees, and you're going to have to apply what you hear. It's one thing to hear and know it in our head, but when it comes down to it, when Maya hits hard, now you have to put it into practice. You have to take shelter of the practical application, otherwise the potency of devotional is not going to manifest. So you may need help from more advanced devotees, or you may need a devotional friendship will help a lot. And you're going to have also to roll your sleeve and do the needful. And sometimes it's not always very pleasant. Sometimes we have sometimes we make the fault of undermining ourselves, and sometimes we have the fault of over-puffing ourselves up, thinking we're very advanced when we're not really that advanced, or thinking that we have to show in front of everybody that we're really advanced, but actually we're not really that advanced. So Krishna will show us gradually where we are by life experience. We don't have to look for it. The experience is going to come by themselves. But whatever condition you're in of happiness and distress, we're not looking to get away from miseries or looking for happiness. We simply want to remember Krishna when both happiness and sufferings are there. That's what we want to do. Always, if you always remember Krishna under all circumstances, you will always be safe. Confirm. One last question. Last question.
Can we accelerate this process?
It all depends on our sincerity, I guess. We can delay it by disobeying the Guru, and we can advance it by obeying him. I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. But you can see devotees, some devotees are very wonderfully successful in Krishna consciousness. So you can ask them, you know, what did they do? Become so nicely situated in devotional service. How do we should have all that? Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.